Chapter 11. Andra called his mad outburst to Mr. Sillerton Jackson. Women ought to be as free as we are. It would presently be his task to take the bandage from this young woman's eyes and bid her look forth on the world. But how many generations of the women who had gone to her making had descended bandaged to the family vault? He shivered a little, remembering some of the new ideas in his scientific books, and the much-cited instance of the Kentucky cave fish, which had ceased to develop eyes, because they had no use for them. What if, when he had bidden Maywelland to open hers, they could only look out blankly at blankness? We might be much better off. We might be all together, we might travel. Her face lit up. That would be lovely, she owned. She would love to travel, but her mother would not understand their wanting to do things so differently. As if the mere backquote differently apostrophe didn't account for it, the wooer insisted. Newland, you're so original, she exulted. His heart sank, for he saw that he was saying all the things that young men in the same situation were expected to say, and that she was making the answers that instinct and tradition taught her to make, even to the point of calling him original. Original. We're all as like each other as those dolls cut out of the same folded paper. We're like patterns stenciled on a wall. Can't you and I strike out for ourselves, May? He had stopped and faced her in the excitement of their discussion, and her eyes rested on him with a bright unclouded admiration. Mercy, shall we elope? She laughed. If you would, you do love me, Newland. I'm so happy. But then, why not be happier? We can't behave like people in novels, though, can we? Why not? She looked a little bored by his insistence. She knew very well that they couldn't, but it was troublesome to have to produce a reason. I'm not clever enough to argue with you. But that kind of thing is rather vulgar, isn't it? She suggested, relieved to have hit on a word that would assuredly extinguish the whole subject. Are you so much afraid, then, of being vulgar? She was evidently staggered by this. Of course I should hate it, so would you, she rejoined, a trifle irritably. He stood silent, beating his stick nervously against his boot top, and feeling that as he had indeed found the right way of closing the discussion, she went on light-heartedly. H, did I tell you that I showed Ellen my ring? She thinks it the most beautiful setting she ever saw. There's nothing like it in the Rue de la Paix, she said. I do love you, Newland, for being so artistic. The next afternoon, as Archer, before dinner, sat smoking sullenly in his study, Janie wandered in on him. He had failed to stop at his club on the way up from the office, where he exercised the profession of the law in the leisurely manner common to well-to-do New Yorkers of his class. He was out of spirits and slightly out of temper, and a haunting horror of doing the same thing every day at the same hour besieged his brain. Sameness, he muttered, the word running through his head like a persecuting tune as he saw the familiar tall-hatted figures lounging behind the plate glass, and because he usually dropped in at the club at that hour he had gone home instead. He knew not only what they were likely to be talking about, but the part each one would take in the discussion. The Duke, of course, would be their principal theme, though the appearance in Fifth Avenue of a golden-haired lady in a small canary-colored brougham with a pair of black cops, for which Beaufort was generally thought responsible, would also doubtless be thoroughly gone into. Such omen, as they were called, were few in New York, those driving their own carriages still fewer, and the appearance of Miss Fanny Ring in Fifth Avenue at the fashionable hour had profoundly agitated society. Only the day before, her carriage had passed Mrs. Lovell Mingott's, and the latter had instantly rung the little bell at her elbow and ordered the coachman to drive her home. Had if it had happened to Mrs. Van der Luyden? People asked each other with a shudder. Archer could hear Lawrence Lefferts, at that very hour, holding forth on the disintegration of society. He raised his head irritably when his sister Janie entered, and then quickly bent over his book, Swinburne's Chastelard, just out, as if he had not seen her. She glanced at the writing table heaped with books, opened a volume of the Anstralatiques, made a wry face over the archaic French, and sighed. Had learned things he read. Well, he asked, as she hovered Cassandra-like before him. Mother's very angry.
Angry?
With whom? About what? Miss Sophie Jackson has just been here. She brought word that her brother would come in after dinner. She couldn't say very much, because he forbade her to. He wishes to give all the details himself. He's with cousin Louis van der Leyden now. For heaven's sake, my dear girl, try a fresh start. It would take an omniscient deity to know what you're talking about. It's not a time to be profane, Newland. Mother feels badly enough about your not going to church. With a groan he plunged back into his book. Newland. Do listen. Your friend Madame Olenska was at Mrs. Lemuel Struther's party last night. She went there with the Duke and Mr. Beaufort. At the last clause of this announcement a senseless anger swelled the young man's breast. To smother it he laughed. What of it? I knew she meant to. Janie paled and her eyes began to project. Who knew she meant to and you didn't try to stop her? To warn her? Stop her? Warn her? He laughed again. I'm not engaged to be married to the Countess Olenska. The words had a fantastic sound in his own ears. You're marrying into her family. Oh, family, he jeered. Newland, don't you care about family? Not a brass farthing. Nor about what cousin Louis van der Leyden will think. Not the half of one if she thinks such old maid's rubbish. Mother is not an old maid, said his virgin sister with pinched lips. He felt like shouting back. Yes, she is, and so are the van der Leydens, and so we all are, when it comes to being so much as brushed by the wingtip of reality. But he saw her long gentle face puckering into tears, and felt ashamed of the useless pain he was inflicting. Hang Countess Olenska. Don't be a goose, Janie, I'm not her keeper. No, but you did ask the Wellands to announce your engagement sooner, so that we might all back her up, and if it hadn't been for that cousin Louis would never have invited her to the dinner for the Duke. Well, what harm was there in inviting her? She was the best-looking woman in the room. She made the dinner a little less funereal than the usual van der Leyden banquet. You know Cousin Henry asked her to please you. He persuaded Cousin Louia. And now they're so upset that they're going back to Skuytercliff tomorrow. I think, Newland, you'd better come down. You don't seem to understand how Mother feels. In the drawing room, Newland found his mother. She raised a troubled brow from her needlework to ask. Has Janie told you?
Yes.
He tried to keep his tone as measured as her own. But I can't take it very seriously. Not the fact of having offended Cousin Louis and Cousin Henry. The fact that they can be offended by such a trifle as Countess Olenska's going to the house of a woman they consider common. Consider, well, who is? But who has good music, and amuses people on Sunday evenings, when the whole of New York is dying of inanition. Good music? All I know is, there was a woman who got up on a table, and sang the things they sing at the places you go to in Paris. There was smoking and champagne. Well, that kind of thing happens in other places, and the world still goes on. I don't suppose, dear, you're really defending the French Sunday? I've heard you often enough, Mother, grumble at the English Sunday, when we've been in London. New York is neither Paris nor London.
Oh, no, it's not, her son groaned.
You mean, I suppose, that society here is not as brilliant? You're right, I dare say, but we belong here, and people should respect our ways when they come among us. Ellen Olenska especially. She came back to get away from the kind of life people lead in brilliant societies. Newland made no answer, and after a moment his mother ventured.
was going to put on my bonnet and ask you to take me to see Cousin Louis for a moment before dinner. He frowned, and she continued. I thought you might explain to her what you've just said. That society abroad is different. That people are not as particular, and that Madame Olenska may not have realized how we feel about such things. It would be, you know, dear, she added with an innocent adroitness, in Madame Olenska's interest if you did. Dearest mother, I really don't see how we're concerned in the matter. The Duke took Madame Olenska to Mrs. Struthers, in fact he brought Mrs. Struthers to call on her. I was there when they came. If the van der Luydens want to quarrel with anybody, the real culprit is under their own roof. Quarrel? Newland, did you ever know of Cousin Henry's quarreling? Besides, the Duke's his guest, and a stranger too. Strangers don't discriminate. How should they? Countess Olenska is a New Yorker, and should have respected the feelings of New York. Well then, if they must have a victim, you have my leave to throw Madame Olenska to them, cried her son, exasperated. Don't see myself or you either offering ourselves up to expiate her crimes. Oh, of course you see only the Mingott side, his mother answered, in the sensitive tone that was her nearest approach to anger. The sad butler drew back the drawing-room portieres and announced, Mr. Henry van der Luyden. Mrs. Archer dropped her needle and pushed her chair back with an agitated hand. Another lamp, she cried to the retreating servant, while Janie bent over to straighten her mother's cap. Mr. van der Luyden's figure loomed on the threshold, and Newland Archer went forward to greet his cousin. We were just talking about you, sir, he said. Mr. van der Luyden seemed overwhelmed by the announcement. He drew off his glove to shake hands with the ladies, and smoothed his tall hat shyly, while Janie pushed an armchair forward, and Archer continued. And the Countess Olenska. Mrs. Archer paled. Ah, a charming woman. I have just been to see. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.